One of the key attributes of a strong scientist is to realize the likelihood of your key experiment working. It's low. If a study is designed well, you're able to take away from that failure a key insight. And as long as you're learning, science is additivity. It's adding on to observation after observation, working to what you would put the truth.
Welcome to The Elixir Factor, a show about the stories that inspire bold advances in science, innovation, and the resilience required to change history. I'm Joe Kim, and on today's show, we will discuss a topic of great importance to people all around the world, Alzheimer's disease. Our first guest is acclaimed filmmaker and healthcare advocate, James Keach. We will hear what factors came into play that inspired James to make Turning Point, the story of our Lilly scientists on the front lines of Alzheimer's research, capturing both the disappointment and resilience of those working to disrupt the disease. We will also hear from one of our Lilly scientists in the film Turning Point, Dr. Ron D'Amatos, who is also the Chief Scientific Officer for Neurobiologics. Dr. D'Amatos performed the foundational studies that led to the development of the peripheral sink hypothesis for Alzheimer's immunotherapy, as well as the original antibody studies that would eventually lead to Lilly's phase 3 drug candidate, solanezumab. Alzheimer's disease is one of the biggest unmet medical needs of our time. Lilly has committed itself to Alzheimer's research for nearly 30 years, and while success has been difficult and costly, we continue to be determined to find solutions for this horrible disease. So that's a long time for us and many others to be working on this. But like others, we've been chasing the amyloid hypothesis. The amyloid hypothesis and the tau tangles, sometimes referred to as plaques entangles, are two of the main hallmarks of Alzheimer's research. And a deeper understanding of their role and our ability to affect them may serve to unlock a solution for the disease. So in 2015, Lilly provided a grant to Academy Award-winning nominated filmmaker and healthcare advocate James Keach to make the documentary Turning Point, which granted him and his crew access into the quote-unquote cave, which was a sequestered area of researchers focused on one of our investigational drugs. And so Turning Point tells the story of our scientists as they embarked on and learned the fate of the Alzheimer's Expedition 3 study. The documentary is fantastic, and I'm so excited to have James here with us today. Welcome, James.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, let's talk about some of the films you've been doing. Your range is huge. Everything from comedy. I've seen you as in comedic roles, as well as your directing on screen, the silver screen and TV. And lately, you've done a couple of really heavy films around Alzheimer's. The Glenn Campbell documentary, I'll Be Me, which was produced a couple years back. Then you followed that up with Turning Point, which takes audiences inside sort of this quest to discover the first medication to really treat the underlying factors of Alzheimer's. Tell us a little bit about kind of the motivations to do this sort of 1-2 punch.
Well, actually, one film led to the other. It came about when I was brought to Eli Lilly. I was coming here to screen I'll Be Me for some of the folks here. There was some consideration of I'll Be Me being sponsored by Eli Lilly for CNN. I was over at a hotel nearby. This young waitress said to me, where are you going? I said, I'm going over to Eli Lilly to screen the movie. So I was expecting her to say something very negative. And she said, oh, I love them. I said, you do? And she said, yeah. She said, they saved my grandmother's life. She has diabetes. It immediately changed my perspective of where I was going. And the first people that I was introduced to were the research scientists. There was Eric Siemers, Ron D'Amato, and Pat May. And Pat May was getting ready to retire. And he was a very senior fellow here. And I guess he'd been working, I think, longer than 30 years on Alzheimer's. He started with Huntington's disease. And he was retiring, and I said, so how long have you been here, Pat? And he told me, and I said, so what's going on? Why are you retiring? And what did you discover while you were here? I was expecting him to tell me that he discovered some great drug. And he said, well, we learned a lot, but I didn't get quite to the promised land. I worked on a drug called semagesistat, and it failed in clinical trials. At that point, I did not know what a clinical trial was. I'd heard of them, but I didn't know the process of them. So you're retiring, Pat, huh? I mean, without ever getting a drug. He said, yeah. He said, that's quite common. He said, there have been over 240 drugs developed for Alzheimer's throughout the industry, and none of them have reached that place where we can actually make a difference in stopping the disease. There are drugs that can help you with memory for a short period of time, but nothing that will get you there. He said, we're very hopeful of a drug called solanezumab. And he pointed to the other guys, Eric Siemers and Ron, and he said, we think we're going to get there. And I said, well, that's good news. And he said, because we really need it, right? Right. And I said to the folks, I said, this is a really interesting idea for a film. I said, I can't imagine making a movie for 30 years and never having it released.
Yeah.
I said, what kind of a guy goes to work every day knowing the chances of him getting a base hit? You know, can you imagine being a baseball player and knowing that you're going to whiff every time somebody throws a ball at you?
Right.
And these guys were happy people. They were spiritually affirmative. In other words, their spirit was there, and you could tell they loved what they were doing. And I thought, this is really interesting. This is the world of pharmaceutical that we don't know. And this is what pharmaceutical is about. This is what Eli Lilly started out to do, was to help people. I don't think he started out with the idea of being on the Dow Jones.
Right.
You know? So it really changed my perspective. And about a year later, I got a call saying, you still want to make that movie? And I said, yeah, I do.
It's a heavy topic. You know, there's so much to it.
It is a heavy topic, but, you know, every day we all get up and we all hope that we're going to, well, I do anyway, that I'm going to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And that's what every one of these people are doing. And they're making a difference. And so, like Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's in the movie, he talks about, Isaac Newton said, we stand on the shoulders of, the quote is, we stand on the shoulders of giants. And Tyson rephrased that. He said, we stand on the shoulders of everyone.
Yeah.
And so I think that the idea that, you know, we go to work every day knowing that we're going to improve the world, you know, in some way or another, all of us in our own individual ways, is an inspiration to me. So it's a heavy topic, but it's life.
And this notion of failure, you brought that up as a theme in both films, and particularly strongly in The Turning Point. And it didn't go unnoticed that you started the film with a physician from Washington University saying, failure is not an option. And then you sort of end it with Neil deGrasse Tyson saying, if the failure of a result is invoked by anyone with power of funding as a reason to drop funding, who is that person? They don't understand how exploration and discovery works. They have no clue. And to sort of what you were saying earlier, this notion of failure is the reality of science and progress, and you'll fail more often than succeed, but failure is also learning. So how would you reconcile this notion of failure is not an option, but like, yes, we have to fail to move ahead?
Well, I would say that idea is, I don't know the result of what's going to happen today. All I can do is make the efforts. So I tell my kids, I said, guys, you don't know what you're going to get on the exam today. You don't know how you're going to – I have a son who's a college baseball player. You don't know if you're going to strike the guy out or what's going to happen. We're in the efforts business. Mm-hmm. That's what we all are in. Every day we get up. We get up and we make the efforts to do the best we can. And if we don't achieve our goal, then we have tomorrow.
Yeah.
If we're blessed enough to have tomorrow. A failure to me is not trying. Failure to me is saying, I'm not going to enter the game. That's failure.
Yeah.
So I use that word in the film because it's a word we all identify certain things with, you know, semantically.
Let's talk a little bit about the individual stories of the scientists, particularly the ones here at Lilly, because you followed the solanezumab story through their eyes. And it was a very dramatic arc you took, and you could see it on their faces. Just, you know, the early days of the signals they found in Expedition 1 and 2, all the way through the anticipation for the data lock of Expedition 3. Tell us what that was like in sort of interviewing them and pulling that story out of them.
Well, everybody thought it was going to work. So we would talk about what happens if it works. What's the effect going to be financially? How many people are you going to have to hire? What's it going to look like? You know, and everybody was hopeful, and it was like, we're going to the, you know, we're going to win the Super Bowl. We're going to get there. So, and I thought that too. I thought for sure this was going to happen. So, you know, I got very emotionally involved with their families, and I got to know them. They're all my friends now.
There were some other storytelling choices you made that just sometimes I thought I was watching a horror film, because this doom of Alzheimer's and the aging population of the world, particularly when you have these aerial shots of the marathon runners just launching, and it really just sort of visually and statistically hits home with how big this problem actually is.
You know, one out of two people who hit the age of between 80 and 85 are going to have Alzheimer's or some sort of dementia, some sort of brain problem. Mm-hmm. The way the lifespan that we have now, the actuarials are showing that we're going to live a lot longer than our previous retirement age, which was 65.
Right.
You know, we're going to live a lot longer than that, you know, mercifully. Wonderfully. If you're, as we say in the film, if you're lucky enough to get there, great. But we have this problem. And so, you know, as a society, we've really got to roll up our sleeves, all of us, mm-hmm. and do something about it. I remember interviewing President Clinton for the Glenn Campbell film, and I wanted to ask kind of a naive question. If you knew that 5 million people were going to die from something, we're being attacked by something, wouldn't you declare war on it?
Mm.
Now, if we know that that's how I look at this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's staggering.
Yeah, I mean, as a national security issue, Alzheimer's is a real one. Healthcare is particularly as it pertains to the cost to care for individuals at that scale.
You know, all the drugs that have been developed to date have been symptomatic drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're not, you know, and that might help too. Listen, if they could slow this thing down for 5 years, it would make a huge difference.
Sure. Yeah, in the film, you try and educate the public on sort of the partnership between government funding, nonprofits like brightfocus.org, and commercial pharma. And to your point, there are things individuals can do. And so you did this film in association with the Bright Focus Foundation,
yeah.
Whose focus is on sort of three key areas, it looks like: Alzheimer's, macular degeneration, and glaucoma. Tell us a little bit more about the partnership there.
Well, we also were partners with Eli Lilly, mm-hmm. too. They gave us a grant to make the film. But Bright Focus is a fantastic organization. And what's so interesting about them is their model is to give research grants to scientists.
Yeah.
So they want to find cures for those three areas. And their mission is to get more money to raise more money for mm-hmm. clinical trials and also, you know, to help with the caregiving side of things, but especially the clinical trials and giving more grants to young research scientists throughout the country.
If there's one thing that people should take away from either films or in combination, particularly Turning Point, what would you have them take away?
Not to be indifferent and apathetic to the plight of other people.
Mm-hmm.
To realize that if your neighbor has Alzheimer's, you should try and help him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a little thing. How's your dad doing? Can I get you something? And then to get involved in a clinical trial.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are heroes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have folks that have had cancer in their family and they're now in remission, I guarantee you there was many people that went before them that were in clinical trials. And clinical trials doesn't mean you're going to get hurt, by the way. It doesn't mean it's going to be painful. All it means is that you show up and participate in trying to take see if a drug has an effect on your disease. You know, most of the people that I've talked to, in fact, all of them that are involved in clinical trials are very proud mm-hmm. of what they're doing. But we really need to get the word out there.
The results of the Expedition 3 study were really devastating for so many people, way beyond just the Lilly community. Patients, caregivers, our research volunteers, and even other scientists. In fact, scientists focused on Alzheimer's are known to be one of the most collaborative because we all understand that we need to build off of each other. In the movie Turning Point, a key theme of the film is that failure is the reality of science. While this may seem counterintuitive, it is actually more common for scientists to fail than to succeed, because science isn't about validating something you hope is right, it's about understanding the truth. And failure nearly always characterizes the truth about something, so that we can learn and move ahead. But that requires an incredible resilience. So it is my honor to introduce Dr. Ron DeMatos to talk a little bit about the resilience it takes to keep searching for a cure. Welcome, Ron.
Hi, Joe. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, same. Before we get into you needing to be resilient, let's harken back to some of the more optimistic days. So when James Keach started to film Turning Point, he actually encountered scientists coming off of a bit of a high looking at an early positive signal. Tell us how you were feeling based on those results before going into Expedition 3.
Sure. So that was back in 2012. Solanezumab had just completed Expedition 1 and 2. And although those studies didn't hit their primary endpoint, what was observed was what appeared to be a significant effect as far as decreasing the cognition in certain individuals within the trial. And it turned out, as we took a look at the data, those individuals that were earliest in the disease cascade, we observed what appeared to be a lessening of the cognitive decline. And I will say, you know, it's always devastating to be part of a study and have a negative outcome. But indeed, when these results were revealed inside of Lilly, there was elation and there was hugging, there was crying. And the reason for that is that the field had gone such a long period of time just trying to change that course of this devastating disease without success, without indeed any real window or light of success. And so the fact that we thought we saw what looked like a really bona fide effect, it was exhilarating. And so as we move forward, we really were quite positive as we honed in on the right population for this drug, the opportunity was there for the patient.
Right. And what else did this mean in terms of the field as it pertains to, you know, the plaques and tangles, the amyloid and tau hypotheses?
Yeah, and that's a great question because, you know, as the field has evolved over the years, there's been a number of hypotheses. There's been groups that have been focused on the beta amyloid hypothesis. There's been groups that were focused on the tau hypothesis. And it's important to highlight that these are the two hallmark pathologies of the disease. And what we had learned previously from genetics and pathophysiology studies is that indeed it was likely both of them that were driving the overarching disease, including factors such as neuroinflammation and so forth. But what I would say is back in 2012, we were at a state in the field where there were probably upwards of almost 100 different clinical trials that had been conducted with no success. And at that point, there was a lot of consternation in the field that was asking a pretty legitimate question, which is, were we going after the right targets? Was beta amyloid a valid target to go ahead and shortcut this disease? And so the fact that we saw this positive signal in the mild patients of our trials with solanezumab, it suggested indeed we were on the right track. And I think that's probably one of the most important points of where we stand clinically today as far as Alzheimer's research is we just need one win in a direction. It doesn't need to be slam it out of the park. We've stopped the disease completely. We need to show that we're able to change the course of this disease, even to a limited extent, because that will tell us what direction we're going in. And indeed, if it's a drug that's targeting beta amyloid, it tells us this indeed is a good target. And we can redouble our efforts here, look for more innovation to hit that target harder. So what we need is some just lead that tells us we're in the right direction.
Yeah, so like any mystery, there are a number of clues to follow. And it's always concerning if you're barking up the wrong tree. But the results of Expedition 1 and 2 seemed like this was the right tree to continue barking up. And so you launched and embarked on Expedition 3, which is what Turning Point was all about. But it didn't turn out the way we had hoped. And like I had said earlier, science isn't about validating something you hope is right or correct. It's about learning the truth about stuff. So tell us how you felt when you when the results of Expedition 3 came out.
Yeah, it was a very difficult time. I was actually part of a small group that was unblinded ahead of the rest of the company. And as they were showing the results, it was devastating. And, you know, the best term for it would be just numb, because we had such high expectations that as we were looking at the data, and, you know, indeed, the data itself looked like we were still having an effect. It just simply was not clinically meaningful. And so you just sat there and said, oh my gosh, how could this happen that we put all this effort, the patients need this, we as a field need this, such that we know we're going in the right direction, and then to just miss it the way we had. It really was. But you know, the other individuals in the room, I mean, there was a lot of crying. And I'd say by the end of that hour, we were already thinking, what could we do to make a drug that was going to help patients?
Yeah. And this notion of failure is a constant theme in the movie, one that is unwanted, but oftentimes understood that's part of the narrative of discovery of anything. And in fact, necessary. I'll give you a quote from Thomas Edison. He says, "Negative results are just what I want. They're just as valuable to me as positive results. I can never find the thing that does the job best until I find the ones that don't." And your resiliency and the resiliency of the team while dealing with this emotionally, but fully turning their attention towards what's next to find out the thing that does the job best, I think is a testament to scientists everywhere, particularly the ones here at Lilly.
Yeah, and Joe, I couldn't agree more. I think that's one of the key attributes of a strong scientist, is to realize that what you're doing, the likelihood of your key experiment working, it's low. If you're asking a tough question, it's low. And indeed, you know, the vast majority of studies, and you know, in the film I talk a little bit about graduate school and the failure, and I failed, boy, did I fail better than most. But the reality is, if a study is designed well, you're able to take away from that failure a key insight. And as long as you're learning, science is additivity. It's adding on to observation after observation, working to what you would put the truth. And so we will never have an immediate success, especially for a complex disease such as Alzheimer's. And indeed, that's why I am positive today. And some of my colleagues, you know, outside of Alzheimer's disease have asked me, wow, are you really, you know, still think you're on the right track? And my answer is absolutely. Mm-hmm. We have learned so much and we are on the right track.
So, you know, personally for you, what is this? How does this line up with other milestones in your career focusing on this disease or biology and medicine in general? Give us a sense of what place this holds on your continuum.
As far as the failure?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's very high. Now, you know, the reality is throughout the course of every scientist, if you're doing basically investigations that matter, you get used to something that we used to refer to as the roller coaster. And the roller coaster is you'll fail and you'll fail and you'll fail and you're going to be way down at the bottom. But at some point, you get to a point where your knowledge has increased, your understanding of the system has increased to the point where you're on that roller coaster and you hear that little clicking sound as you're moving up that big hill. And it's clicking away and you're not sure at what point are you going to hit that apex. But what always happens is you hit an apex and you feel elated. And a good scientist immediately pushes beyond that. And what ends up happening almost every time, you go whizzing down that hill, okay? But the good scientist will always, over time, make sure that you are always ending above where you had started. And so it's a roller coaster ride. And so, you know, Expedition 1 and 2, that was a real important high, okay? Mm-hmm. And Expedition 3, you know what? Just before it, that roll coaster was clicking, we were right at the top, and yes, we were a bit deflated. But the good news is that we were able to take those learnings, and we're basically getting them out to the field. We're getting them out to all the other investigators. We're using them internally, and we are putting it forward so that we're back up on the upswing, and we're testing better hypotheses that literally have better chance of serving the patient.
Yeah. But give us more detail about why we should remain so resilient here, right? You've mentioned all these failures and lots of, you know, experiments that haven't come to turn out the way we wanted them to. What's new in the field, and why should we still keep working on this? And what can we do to make a difference as scientists or as a medical community?
As you look across the field, and we just came from one of our international meetings where there was yet another failure disclosed, and the mood was somber. And I was a little bit disheartened that I did see some scientists I really respect taking it harder than I had expected. And I was actually giving a panel discussion at that, and I was asked this exact same question. And speaking to the scientists, I said, you know, I don't want you to perseverate on these current results. What I want you to really perseverate on is the growth that we have had in our understanding of this disease in the last 10 years. And it really, truly is striking. 10 years ago, we are enrolling patients in our Alzheimer's disease trials that it turns out didn't even have the disease. Hmm. Okay? And there is this key new modality, amyloid imaging, that allowed us to go ahead and screen our patients before they entered into the trials, such that we are assured, starting a clinical trial, this patient actually has the disease that we're trying to stop. And when you have 20 to 30% of the patients in a clinical trial that don't even have the disease, which means the drug could never work.
That's right.
Right? That is a tremendous advance. So we've made all these advances, and the imaging, I really do believe, is on the forefront of that. We're able to image the amyloid, so we know, does this patient actually have Alzheimer's disease? Another even more recent imaging modality can image the tau. And the reason that's important, tau is known to correlate to the cognitive decline. And so now we're able to select our patients even far better, because what we've also learned at the same time is that this disease that really starts some 20 years before you have your first memory complaint, that you can have all this buildup of all this pathological protein in your brain. Well, there's a lot of other heterogeneity. And so we're using these modalities to zero in and ask and do the best experiment possible. And so I want folks to focus on our growth. And indeed, we take these learnings from these current setbacks and we redouble our efforts and we attack this disease. We don't stop, we attack.
It's really an inspiration to see you staying strong in the face of some failures, not just here at Lilly, but in the medical community, and then looking at the silver lining in all of this and helping people understand that out of these failures come profound learnings that all will add up to help us find meaningful remedies and medicines for this devastating disease. Thank you for tuning in to The Elixir Factor. You should definitely check out The Turning Point if you haven't seen it. To learn more about Turning Point and how you can take action against Alzheimer's, go to www.turningpointmovie.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast. Thanks.